जायो कुंजा बिहारे, जयो राधा माधवा, जयो जयो राधा माधवा, जयो कुंज बिहारे, जयो गोपी जन वल्लभा, जयो गिरिवराधारे, जयो गिरिवराधारे, जनवल्लभा, जयो जयो गोपी जन वल्लभा, जयो गिरिवराधारे, जयो गिरिवराधारे, सोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन, सोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन, मुन तीरावन चारीरावन, जयो राधा माधवा, जयो कुंज बिहारी, जयो राधा माधवा, जयो कुंज बिहारे, जयो गोपी जन वल्लभा, जयो गिरिवराधारे, जयो गिरिवराधारे, जयो गोपी जन वल्लभा, जयो गिरिवराधारे, जयो गिरिवराधारे, सोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन, सोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन, मुन तीरावन चारे, मुन तीरावन चारे, जयो राधा माधवा, जयो कुंज बिहारे, राधा माधवा, जयो Jayo Radha Madhava Jayo Kunja Bihari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Radha Madhava ki jai, Panchadatva ki jai, Nisimune Bhagavan ki jai, Granthara Chimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Nithai Go Premanande Hari Hari. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevayam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevayam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this morning we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 20, Shloka 34. Padam Dvitiyam Kramatas Trivishtapam. Navai tritihaya tadiyam vapi. Uru kramasyangri rupariu paryato. Mahajanhabhyam tapasa param gataham. Padham dvitiyam kramatas trivishtapam. Navai tritihaya tadiyaman vapi. Uru kramasyangri rupariu paryato. Maharjanabhyam tapasa param gataham. Please chant. Rupam. Vaishnavis, param vidyam param asrivishtapam. Padam, step, dvitiyam, second, kramata, advancing, trivishtapam, all of the heavenly planets, na, not, vai, indeed, tritiyaya, for the third step, tadiyam, of the Lord, anuapi, only a spot of land remained. Urukramasya, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead who performs uncommon activities. Angri, steps occupying above and below. Upari upari, higher and higher. Ato, now. Mahajanabhyam, then Maharloka and Janaloka. Tapasa, that Tapaloka. Param, beyond that. Gata, approached. Translation in purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. As the Lord took His second step, He covered the heavenly planets, and not even a spot remained for the third step, for the Lord's foot, extending higher and higher, beyond Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, and even Satyaloka. Purport. When the Lord's footstep exceeded the height of all the lokas, including Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, and Satyaloka, His nails certainly pierced the covering of the universe. The universe is covered by the five material elements, Bhumi Rapo Nalo Vayu Kam, as stated in the Shastra. These elements are in layers, each 10 times thicker than the previous one. Nonetheless, the nails of the Lord pierced through all these layers and made a hole penetrating into the spiritual world. From this hole, the water of the Ganges infiltrated into this material world, and therefore it is said Padanaka Nira Janita Jana Pavana Dashavatara Stotra. Because the Lord kicked a hole in the covering of the universe, the water of the Ganges came into this material world to deliver all the fallen souls. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 8th canto, 20th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Bali Maharaj Surrenders the Universe. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Gnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namahom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात देश तारिणे हे कृष्ण करुण सिंधो दीन बंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिक कंथ राध कंथ नमोस्तुते तप्त कंचन घोरंगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये नमो महावदनाय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्ण कृष्ण चैतन्य नामने गौरत्विष्ये नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि घोर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे So this is the last sloka in this chapter in which Bali Maharaj surrenders the universe to Lord Vamanadev. Although that was not intentional, Bali Maharaj, he just wanted to give three steps, but somehow ended up giving up the whole universe, which was quite a surprise for everybody, including Bali. So Lord Vamanadev, just two steps he took lower, middle and higher planetary systems and even pierced the caverns of the universe, made a hole in the layers through which Ganga came in. So this was Lord's trick. On the pretext of taking just a little charity, he takes everything. So imagine a brahmachari, or maybe better sannyasi, coming to your house asking for charity, asking just for 10 rupees and ends up taking all the money from your bank account or even your house. How would you feel? You would protest? 1975, Srila Prabhupada, he was in Detroit, U.S., temple there, the lease for the temple was expiring and the temple president, he was looking for a new building. So he had some photos of some prospective places and he was showing them to Prabhupada. So Prabhupada was looking, and then when he saw one mansion that looked like a palace, Prabhupada was very impressed and he said, "We should take this house." But then temple president and other devotees said, "Prabhupada, this house in this very bad neighborhood, it's a very high criminal rate in that part. There are many thieves and narco dealers." Prabhupada said, "No problem. If the thief comes, we'll just chant Hare Krishna, offer him prasadam, and then he can take whatever he wants." So in this way, Prabhupada convinced them to go and see the house. So Prabhupada, Brahmananda Swami, Upendra, Ambarish Prabhu, a few other devotees, they went to meet the owner, whose name was Mr. Fisher, who was a well-known industrialist in Detroit. So he was accompanied by a real estate agent. So they inspected the property. And the property was just amazing. It was like a mansion from a 19th century with all ornamented pillars, Gothic paintings, fountains, swimming pool, very expensive furniture, old furniture, very aristocratic. And after seeing that, Prabhupada was even more impressed and even more determined to get this house. So they sat down and Prabhupada started preaching to the owner how we are spreading the spiritual knowledge, Krishna consciousness, for the benefit of the whole world, trying to impress him that we are doing very important activity and that he should help. And since the owner didn't mention the price, Prabhupada at the end said, "I think that you should donate this house to us." Everybody was perplexed. Ambarish and Upendra, they hid their face in embarrassment. And the landlord was, the owner was looking without a word. And then he looked at the real estate agent.
And she was also didn't know what to say. And then landlord said, I'm sorry, I cannot give this house. I invested so much and I'm in loss. I somehow I need to recover this money. So he was kind of apologizing for not giving the house for free. Then Prabhupada said, so how much you want? Then landlord said, I would like to get at least $350,000. Prabhupada looked for a moment and then said, we'll give you $300,000 in cash. Landlord looked at the real estate agent and said, okay, we'll think about it. So they packed, they went back to the temple. In the car, Prabhupada asked Ambarish Prabhu, so what do you think? Is it going to be possible? Ambarish Prabhu thought for a moment, yes, Prabhu, I think it will be possible. So he committed for part, and Lekha Shravanam Mataji, who was also coming from a rich Detroit family, she also committed to part of that money. So although Prabhupada promised without having one penny, still, immediately, he was able to pay it. So the next day, the owner came with the real estate agent and said, yes, we agree, you can take the house. So in this way, the famous Fisher's Mansion in Detroit was donated to ISKCON through Prabhupada's boldness. So Prabhupada is just following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas and in the footsteps of the Lord Himself, Lord Vamanadev, who also in ancient times begged only three steps but took the whole universe. And this is something very common for the Lord, who is known as Hari, one who takes away. From whom He takes away? You would expect that He takes away from those who are opposed to Him, from those He doesn't like. But in reality, He takes away from those who are dear to Him, from those whom He favors. In the 10th canto, Lord Krishna, He says to Maharaj Yudhishthir, Yasyaham anugrinami harishyata danam shanai tato danam chajantyasya svajana dukha dukitam. The Lord says, if I especially favor someone, I gradually deprive him of all his wealth. Just imagine that favor. If he really likes you, he will take everything you have and you'll be penniless. The Lord continues, then the relatives and the friends of such a poverty-stricken man abandon him. In this way, he suffers one distress after another. So if the Lord really favors us, we are going to suffer one distress after another. Sounds very appealing? Not, but the Lord knows what is He doing. The other universal controllers are Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, and other demigods. They are also able to bless their worshippers. But they reward them not by taking away. They reward them by giving them material opulences. But Krishna, He rewards by taking away everything you have. That's why common people, materialistic people, they are not very much inspired to worship Krishna. They would rather worship demigods because they know at least they will give us. Krishna will just take away. So they are afraid of Krishna. For them, Krishna is dangerous. So what is the reason? Why is the Lord taking away His devotees' possessions? What is the problem in wealth and opulences we might have? Queen Kunti answers this in the first canto in her prayers. Janmaishwarya Shruta Shribir Eda Mana Madapuman Naiva Hartam Yabidatum Vai Tvam Akinchana Gocharam. So she says, my Lord, Your Lordship can easily be approached, but only by those who are materially exhausted. Because one who is in the path of material progress, trying to improve himself with a respectable parentage, great opulence, high education, and bodily beauty. Janma, Aishwarya, Shutta, and Sribir. They cannot address you with sincere feeling. So if we are intoxicated with these opulences, it's very difficult to address the Lord sincerely, with a feeling. So Prabhupada, in purport to this shloka, makes very, very important point. He says, it is said in the Shastra that once uttering the holy name of the Lord, the sinner gets rid of a quantity of sin that he is unable to commit. So such is the power of uttering the holy name of the Lord. And there is not even a gram of exaggeration in this statement. Actually, the Lord's holy name has such a powerful potency. But there is a quality to such utterances also. It depends on the quality of feeling. A helpless man can feelingly utter the holy name of the Lord, whereas a man who utters the same holy name in great material satisfaction cannot be so sincere. Materially puffed up person may utter the holy name of the Lord occasionally, but he is incapable of uttering the name in quality. Therefore, the four principles of material advancement, namely high parentage, good wealth, high education, attractive beauty, and so are, so to speak, disqualification for progress on the path of spiritual advancement. So these material opulences in themselves, they are not the problem. But the problem is, by having them, we become intoxicated, we become proud, we become puffed up. We think that we are controller of our lives, of this world. And then for such a puffed up person, it's very, very difficult to sincerely approach the Lord and ask for help, ask for mercy. So in order to change our attitude, to change our way of thinking, the Lord is taking away these opulences, not in order to give us distress without any reasons. So Krishna, he thinks, one who tries to approach me to become Krishna conscious, but at the same time wants to become materially happy, he is not very intelligent. But I am intelligent, so why should I give this foolish person something that is not good for him? I will take everything away from him, and in this way I induce him to take shelter of my lotus feet. This is the Lord's thinking and reasoning. So maybe we have experienced in our lives these difficult times when the Lord took something away. Or if we didn't, maybe we are experiencing it now. And if we are not experiencing it now, for sure we will experience it in the future. So it is essential for us to know what is the proper reaction in such difficult times, in times of tests, because tests will come. So when our material assets are taken away, generally we become very morose. Just remember last time you lost some money, whether it was 1,000 rupees or 10,000 rupees, how you felt? You lamented probably? Recently one, my friend, he lost 1 lakh, which is quite some money for him. And he was very much disturbed by losing this 1 lakh. Just imagine that you lose 10 lakhs or more. How much more we would be disturbed. But that is the test. We are not supposed to become disturbed by this. We are supposed to accept this as Krishna's arrangement. And to teach us, Lord is giving this difficult test to His dear devotees, to His eternal associates like 5 Pandavas. So Maharaj Yudhishthira in 10th canto, he inquires from Krishna, my dear Lord, we are completely dependent on you, but we are still suffering materially so much. Our kingdom has been taken away, our wife has been insulted, Draupadi, our enemies attempted to poison us, to burn us. In so many ways, they experience so much trouble, so much calamities. And in answer to this inquiry of Maharaj Yudhishthir, the Lord spoke that shloka, if I specially favor someone, I take away all his wealth. This is answer to Maharaj Yudhishthir's inquiry. And in purport to this shloka, Srila Prabhupada says that he actually had experience in regard to this, that he had personal experience how Lord takes away. He says when he was 25 years old, his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he ordered him to preach. But Prabhupada first thought, let me first earn money. Let me become rich and then I will use this money for preaching. And he said that he had all good opportunities to become very, very rich man. Actually, one astrologer told him that he will become the richest man in India. So he had a very good chance, a very good prospect. And in Allahabad, he was a manager of a chemical factory. And the business was prospering. But somehow his partner, he got envious of him. He made some plot and everything collapsed. Prabhupada lost everything. And in this way, he says, I was forced into the position of carrying order of my Guru Maharaj. When all my material assets were taken away, then I approached Krishna saying, you are the only shelter. Before that, Prabhupada tried on his own strength, with his own intelligence, with his own expertise in business. He tried. But it didn't work because Krishna didn't let him. And then he had no other choice to approach the Lord and says, Krishna, you are my only shelter. And then he says, Krishna is a kinchana vita, the property of materially impoverished. When one is bereft of all material opulences, one turns to Krishna. So this is the reaction of the devotee. When Krishna takes everything away from us, we turn to Krishna. And Prabhupada concludes, and now I'm realizing that I have not lost, but gained. So by, even if we lose something, if Krishna takes something from us, there is no loss. In reality, we have gained. Then Krishna becomes our only wealth. And then Prabhupada continues, this position is very nice. When one does not depend on anything material, but simply depends on Krishna, one has attained the first class position in Krishna consciousness. So to teach us, the ordinary sadhakas, practitioners who are struggling, the Lord is giving difficult tests to his eternal associates, like Srila Prabhupada, like five Pandavas. Through their example, the Lord wants to show to the whole world their fixed devotion, their fortitude, their tolerance, their steadiness in these difficult times. And they are giving the perfect example how one should behave in these difficult circumstances. So Queen Kunti, she prays in her prayers, O Hrishikesh, the master of the senses, O Lord of Lords, you have released your mother Devaki, who was long imprisoned and distressed by envious King Kamsa, and me and my children from serious of constant dangers. So the Lord actually was the one who actually put his mother and father in danger. Just immediately after their marriage, they were put in such a difficult condition, they were put in prison. And then one after another, all their children, I think six children, were killed. This is a very, very difficult test to his own father and mother. Then what should we expect? That he is going to spare us? No. Unless we don't have his favor. And Kunti Devi, similarly, with her own children, was put in such a difficult situation. But actually, Kunti Devi was shown more favor than Devaki. Why? Because all five of Kunti's children, five Pandavas, they survived. While first six Devaki children, they didn't survive. So Lord showed more favor to Kunti Devi because she was alone, she didn't have a husband and she completely depended on the Lord. So the conclusion is that the Lord shows more favor to devotee who is in the greater difficulty, in greater danger. So the greater difficulty is, more mercy we get. So in this helpless position, devotee has no other choice than to turn to the Lord, and in this way becomes more and more attached to the Lord. So this is the Lord's intention in giving us difficult tests and putting us in difficult situation. He wants us to become more and more attached to Him. So Queen Kunti, she prays further. My dear Krishna, your Lordship has protected us from a poisoned cake, from a great fire, from cannibals, from vicious assembly, from sufferings during our exile in the forest, and from the battle where great generals fought. And now you have saved us from the weapon of Ashwatthama. So whole life of Pandavas was just one danger after another. And just remember Draupadi, how much she suffered. She was such exalted lady, born from a fire, such a pure and exalted Vaishnavi. And then she was dragged by vile Dushasana in front of the assembly in just one cloth and attempted to be stripped naked. So she had no other choice than to surrender to Krishna and pray to Krishna for help. First she expected some help from her husbands, and then she saw that they couldn't help. Then she looked at the Bhishma, he couldn't help, Drona, nobody. And then she had to cry, Krishna, please save me, you're my only shelter now. And we know Krishna supplied unlimited cloth. And she was saved. So tests, they're very good for us, because they bring us closer to Krishna. That's why Queen Kunti prays, Vipada Shanta Tatshashva Tatar Tatar Jagad Guru Bhavato Darshanam Yatsyad Apunar Bhava Darshanam. I wish that all those calamities would happen again and again, so that we could see you again and again. For seeing you means there will be no more repeated births and death. And Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, in the commentary of the purport to the shloka that I read at the beginning, Yadanugrihami, how Krishna takes away all his wealth, he gives very, very nice analogy how these difficulties increasing devotees' attachment to Krishna. He says, it is at night that sunrise becomes attractive. During the day, sunrise is a normal thing, the daylight. But at night, sunrise becomes very attractive. Similarly, during the summer, hot summer, cold water gives comfort. Not hot water, cold water gives comfort. And during the cold winter month, warm water is pleasing. A lamp light appears attractive in darkness, not in the glaring light of day. And when one is distressed by hunger, food tastes especially good. When you are full, the food doesn't give you really much pleasure. But when you are hungry, the food gives great comfort. So similarly, to strengthen his devotee's mood of dependence on him and longing for him, the Lord arranges for his devotees to go through some suffering, and when he appears in order to deliver them, their gratitude and transcendental pleasure are boundless. So if we had not gone through all these sufferings and difficulties, when Lord delivers us, it wouldn't give us so much pleasure, and it wouldn't increase our attachment to Him so much. But just by going through all these difficult times, once when we are delivered, our gratitude towards the Lord is increased multifold. So what is that that is purifying our heart? Is it difficulties, calamities, deaths? So many people in this material world, they suffer. And do you see that their hearts are purified? Not clearly. Just ordinary suffering doesn't purify the heart. What purifies the heart is our attitude and knowledge with which we accept the suffering and difficulties. If we accept it as the Lord's mercy, then our hearts is purified. If we protest, why is this happening to me? Then we haven't learned our lesson and we are not purified. So the difficulties are meant to make us humble, to correct our attitude. They are like a treatment of expert physician. So by taking away our wealth, our possessions, our beauty, the Lord takes away something else. What does He take away? He takes away our pride, our false abhiman, our false designation, our idea that we are in control of our life, that we are masters and controllers. He takes our false misconception. And He takes away our pride. Krishna doesn't like pride, even in His companions. Pride is defined as the feeling of self-respect and personal worth, material pride. And it's a disease. It's a diametrically opposite to quality that we all require very much, that is very favorable. And that quality is humility. Pride is opposite of humility. And we can chant Hare Krishna only if we are in the humble state of mind. Trinapi sunichena. So Krishna takes the pride even of such exalted devotees as the gopis are. If you remember during the Rasa dance, when they become just slightly proud that they are the most fortunate ladies in the universe, Krishna disappeared. Just to take away their pride. Also Uddhava, Lord's eternal associate, he also had little pride of himself as very close associate and friend of the Lord. He was thinking of himself as very dear and very advanced. But when he visited Vrindavan, when he visited Raj, and he saw the gopis devotion, all his pride went away. He was very much humbled by seeing the exalted devotion of the gopis and other Vrijavasis. So humility is the quality that we want to develop through our practice. If we don't, that means Krishna will have to give us hard time. So better somehow or other we try to become humble ourselves. Otherwise hard times are going to come to take away our pride and to make us humble. So Srila Sanatana Goswami in Brihat Bhagavatamita speaks a couple of shlokas about humility, and he is saying that humility is the actually essential quality required in a devotional service. He says that loving devotional service is far different from disciplines such as karma, jnana and yoga. At every stage, so from the very beginning to the very end, devotional service is decorated by indifference to karma, jnana and yoga, and its root, the root is called dainya or utter humility. So wise men define dainya or humility as the state in which one always thinks oneself exceptionally incapable and low, even while endowed with all excellences. So although we might be very, very qualified in all respects, if we think ourselves extremely incapable and low, not just saying it to impress others how humble we are, but we really feel like that, then we can be called humble. If you remember when Rupa Sanatan first time met Lord Chaitanya and Rama Kali, they offered some very, very heart rendering prayers to the Lord, and they had straw in their mouths, just expression of their inner humility, and they described themselves as the lowest of the low. And it was not, these were not just words, it was not just a show, it was their actual feeling. Although they were born in Brahmana families, because they served the Muslim ruler, they felt themselves as outcasts, as the lowest of the, in the society, and they expressed their sincere feeling of humility to Lord Chaitanya. And when he heard their feelings, their prayers, the Lord told them, stop, stop, please, my dear Rupa and Sanatan, your humility is paining me. It's so strong that it's paining my heart to hear these words. But in reality, they were the most exalted. They took up the service of Nawab Hussain Shah only to save the others, because he threatened them, if you don't become my ministers, I will kill everybody in your village. So they had no choice but to take the service of Nawab Hussain Shah. But still, they thought of themselves as very, very much fallen. So this feeling of humility is quite something different from a low self-esteem. Sometimes people think that we need to boost our self-confidence in order to do things, which might have some truth in it. But low self-esteem as high self-esteem, they're both based on bodily conception. They're based on an identification with this body. But humility, the real humility, is based on identification of ourselves as the eternal soul and servant of Krishna. If we identify ourselves at the 1/10 of 10th, the soul is the size of 1/10 of million part of the tip of the hair. So if we know that we are so small, then naturally you have to feel very humble. But if you feel you are this body and you have some high position, maybe you are a manager, temple president, this or that, then naturally you will have some abhiman, you will have some pride. So the real way to develop humility is to start identifying ourselves as servants of Krishna. And then Sanatana Goswami also says, an intelligent person should carefully cultivate his speech, behavior, in thinking in such a way that will fix him in humility. And anything that stands in the way of that, he should avoid. So in other words, whatever we speak, however we act, and whatever we think, should be supporting humility, should be done in a humble way. Otherwise, if we do something that is not humble, it will increase our pride. Or if we think, we do not say something, but we think, oh, what is this person saying? He doesn't know anything. For example, this way of thinking is not very humble way of thinking. It's basically you're saying you are better than him. So we have to analyze all our thoughts, our thinking process, and then our words. Some time ago I came across, he's a very nice devotee, I'm not mentioning his name, but he said he was on some preaching tour, and then he said the links of his programs and classes, and then there was a comment, another wonderful lecture given by me. It's not way to say that will increase your humility. It's not conducive. You cannot say, oh, I gave such a wonderful Bhagavatam class. It's the wrong way of thinking. You cannot think in this way, and we cannot speak in this way, and of course we cannot behave in this way. So somehow or other we should try to think, feel, act, and speak in a humble way, and in this way it will be easier for us to chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, which will purify our heart, and eventually that purification will make us humble. Okay, I'll stop here. If you have any comments or questions, please. Yes, Giri Govardhan Prabhu, are there any mic here?
Hare Krishna. Okay, thank you, Prabhu, for a wonderful class.
Thank you.
So, Sometimes when we're preaching to new people, we don't try to avoid this verse, and we like to use another verse from Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says that when somebody surrenders to me to serve me with love and devotion, then I give everything he needs and I preserve everything he has. That's right. So but both statements are given by Krishna. So how do we balance these two verses in order to understand the Lord?
Thank you. Very nice question. We have to discriminate to whom we are preaching. If these are new people and do not know much, I have no experience in Krishna consciousness, and just thinking about of taking up Krishna consciousness, definitely we are not going to scare them away. If you tell them Krishna will take everything you have, nobody will ever become a devotee. They will just turn around and run as fast as possible. So we cannot do this, and we should be very careful. We have to judge the person's position and status. And in these circumstances, when the person is very much new, the Bhagavad Gita statement is very appropriate. And we can cite examples how, since we became devotees, everything was taken away, which is actually true. It's not wrong. Maybe we are not very rich, general devotees are not very rich, but still we have everything we need. And we can share these positive experiences. We don't need immediately to hammer them with difficulties we had. But later, when one progresses and experiences these difficulties, his personal life, and starts questioning, why is this happening to me? Then we can quote Krishna from the 10th canto, that shloka, that he takes everything away, in order to give him perspective, in order to help him understand why these things are happening. So we have to judge the respective position of person we are speaking to say the proper statements. Is it okay? Or
okay, yeah, that's in the sense of preaching, right?
Yeah.
But now for our own lives, it's like to understand that Lord says, you know, I take everything, but the Lord also says, but if you surrender, you know, I give you.
Yes.
It's not just that I'm going to take you, but he also says, I'll give you. So why does he say sometimes I give you, and then some other times he says, no, I'll take you? So how can we balance and understand this in our own lives?
I get it. So in our own lives, we are passing to different stages and phases. But from the beginning till the end, we should have faith that Krishna will protect us and maintain us. This is the symptom Sharanagati, Goptitre Varanantata, Rakshayishyate Vishvaso. To have faith that Krishna will always protect us and maintain us, accept him as our own maintainer. But when he sees that something in our life is an obstacle to our spiritual advancement, he will take that away. And that doesn't mean that we'll be begging on the street without having anything to eat or a roof under which to sleep. That doesn't mean that. He will take that which is not favorable to our spiritual life, to our devotional service. But he will not take away that is necessary for us to continue our life and to continue practicing. Definitely, we will always have that. He'll always provide what we need to practice, and our basic needs will be always provided. But something that will make us intoxicated, something that will divert our mind away from him, something that will distract us from Krishna consciousness, these things, if he favors us, he will take away for our spiritual benefit. But other things that we really need, that are helpful to us, that are not distraction, he'll provide. Definitely he'll always provide. So in this way, we should have faith that he will maintain us, that he will protect us. And if there is something inauspicious in our heart and our lives, he might take away, but we also might need to pray for that. If we are sincere, we will actually pray, please take away whatever is taking me away from you. Whatever is separating me from you, please take away. And that doesn't mean that he will not give us what we need. He will give us. So there is no contradiction. He will take away what is unfavorable, and he will provide and give us whatever we need and is favorable for our Krishna consciousness. Is that okay? Nisimha Dhira Prabhu.
That there is no contradiction. Like Krishna says, I'll preserve what they have and I'll provide what they lack. Now, we need facilities and then we also need qualities to perform devotional service. Mm. And some of us have some qualities which are conducive and some qualities that we're lacking. Mm. So Krishna may create a situation whereby we will acquire those qualities that we're lacking, such as humility. Mm. And then you preserve the qualities that we already have. Also, so there is no dichotomy. It depends on from which perspective you look at it. So by creating difficulty, he allows us to acquire positive qualities that are conducive for devotional service. So therefore, he's giving us what we're lacking, like that. And then he keeps us humble by preserving what we already have, if we have a certain degree of humility through that difficulty. So I was thinking that's another way we're looking at it also.
Yes,
if you
yes.
look at it from the facility perspective, then it's scary, but from the qualities perspective, it's just another way of analyzing it. I just want to share.
Yeah, thank you. Very, 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 very nice point. Yeah, we are gaining something that is not material. We are gaining these good qualities that are our eternal asset that we carry in the next life, regardless of material possessions. But even possessions, sometimes we gain, as Prabhupada said, although Krishna took him everything away, he said, I have realized that I have actually gained. I have not lost. And basically, he took away all his money as a businessman, but then he gave him a whole ISKCON, and Prabhupada said this is more than 100 crores or something. He gave him actually even material facilities because Prabhupada was using it completely in Krishna's service. And yeah, we can remember the example of Sudama Brahmana. All his life he was very poor, and then he went to beg something from Krishna, and he got unlimited wealth, because Krishna knew that this wealth is not going to distract him, because he was so steady in his devotion that no wealth could distract him. So if Krishna sees that we are also that much steady, he can also give us unlimited facilities. But until we become that much fixed in Krishna consciousness, he has to be very careful not to give us too much, otherwise he will spoil our spiritual life. So in this way he is taking care of our spiritual lives by not giving or giving us at certain points of time. So he is very intelligent, he knows what is he doing, so we should have faith that he knows what he is doing. Okay, thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.